The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. Hour number two here as we get going on a Monday night. Rams are moving, Mafia. Under 4 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. They did pick up a first. They have a big second down now at about midfield. The Bucs, of course, have tied the game. Chris Godwin with a beauty touchdown, getting the ball over the pylon. And the Rams now cross the 50. This is going to be a big third down with 3.5 to play here. Big third down. And what I need right now, Mavi, is I just need, because I got the Rams at the 4.5 right now, we just need either Rams to score here and I'll feel real comfortable, or the Bucs to get it and win it with a field goal. I'll be fine with that too. We just need to get this game in a situation where I can't, get a Tampa touchdown to burn me late,
What? What you really need is them to come down and score here in some fashion and leave enough time for the Bucs to get the ball and try to make some kind of play so Antonio Brown get that one more catch, yard.
We need that as well. Oh, and a big play. Goff to Cooper Kupp down to the 15, Mafia. So with 2:56 to go, Cooper Kupp, who has had a monstrous first half, they haven't gone to him as much in the second. Maybe the Bucs have made some adjustments, because Kupp was tearing them apart in the first half. He gets open here. Great throw from Goff. And here they are. The Rams are in business. I'll take a Ram touchdown and then throw the ball to Antonio Brown once, Mafia. That's what we're looking for here in the final couple of minutes of this Monday night football game. So hour number two, we're going to talk about the Dolphins' loss in Denver yesterday. We'll talk about the Ravens in a little bit of trouble. College football, Mafia wants to take some wax at Dabo Swinney. I want to take some wax at BYU. So we have plenty of that to do as well. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep rolling right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The Rams have kicked a field goal here in Monday Night Football. Now have a 27-24 lead. 2.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The Bucs will start at their own 20. Mafia, what do you think? Do the Bucs win this game, tie this game, or does the Rams' defensive line swallow up Tom Brady here? What do you think, Mafia?
Tommy Terrific can't lose this game now. This is the perfect situation for him, right? I mean, the Rams have won this game multiple times at this point, and I've just let them hang in there, let them come back. After the play to get the ball before, it should have been game over on the 4th-and-1. Like, you get it, you start. I mean, obviously there's enough time they can still get possession, but you should have gotten some points. And right away he throws a pick. Then this one, you know, you get the field goal, but you were down to the 20 with a lot of time left, you know, nice first down. You should have gotten in the end zone. You had all the momentum in your way. Tommy's going to get the touchdown here and not only, you know, win it, but, actually won't cover. So you're lucky there. You know, if he gets a touchdown, they still don't hit that hook.
I'm fine with the cut. If he wants to get a touchdown, that's fine. Get me 1 yard from Antonio Brown. You know, you want to win the game by 4? I got the 4.5. That's perfectly fine with me. I want my 1 yard from Antonio Brown, Mafia. That's what I want right now. And that's Godwin. That's not Antonio Brown. We need to find. He looks for Brown the entire game, Mafia. Now we're down here in crunch time in the fourth quarter, and Godwin's limping off. Maybe that'll help the cause here to get the ball in Antonio Brown's hands. We have hit the 2-minute warning. So there you go, Mafia. We'll see what happens on the other side of this 27-24. They're driving. A couple other games. Dolphins, Mafia. I got to bring up the Dolphins, and here's why. You know, I mean, you know that I got a little investment here emotionally, because I am a Bills fan, and I had to sit around last week after the Bills lost on a Hail Mary play to the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray, and I had to listen to everybody, not everybody, but there were some talking heads out there saying, you know, maybe the Dolphins, the best team in the AFC East, things like that, Tua outstanding. And I think you found out on Sunday, Mafia, that the Dolphins, as good as they have played, you are not going to get defensive and special teams touchdowns every single week. And that has helped Tua out a lot in his first 3 games. You know, look at the Ram game. They were outgained by about 350 yards, but they got a defensive and a special team touchdown, won the game. The Arizona game, he played very well, but he also got a defensive touchdown. The Charger game, he got help from special teams. He's gotten help, and you don't get that every week. And I thought it was very telling that Flores thought, down 10, let me get Fitz in the game, because Tua was taking a beating as well from that Denver defensive line. Fitz can move me down the field a little bit faster than Tua can. That's kind of what he was thinking there, and I thought it was the right move.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know if any of what happened earlier in the day with Burrow, you know, played into that at all. You know, when you got your guy out there who is your top pick and you were worried about putting him out there first because of his injuries and had some horrific injury in college that, you know, people thought he might be not playing at all this season. He might still have the whole year, you know, kind of redshirt his freshman NFL season here just to make sure he was healthy and has come back and played well, that maybe it was like, oh, man, when you saw him bend like that, like, ooh, I don't want to see that again. You know, of course, he's going to say that, oh, it fits, you know, he knows what the drill, he knows what we're doing. And okay, that's fine. But if you're putting Tua in there, it's to win the game. You know, you said you were putting him in there because you thought he would give you a chance to be in the playoffs and you want him in these pressure situations, yet you get in a pressure situation and you yank him. If you want to say you're worried about the injury, I'll believe you more. If you want to say that, you know, it wasn't the right situation for him, well, then you shouldn't have had him in there to start these last couple of games, because if Fitz is the better one for that, then that's the guy you need in there to try to make this playoff push for you. But, you know, that's the thing, is people jump and overreact so often to everything anyone does. So the first week, everyone's like, oh, well, he won his first game. We said it on the show. Listen, he didn't win that game. He barely did anything. The defense and the special teams won that game. Then the second game he came out. The second game he came out, and he's like, "All right, yeah, I didn't do enough," and he lit it up. So you got to give him credit for that. You know, he played good those other games, but just like any quarterback, just like, you know, any player at all, you know, we're talking about Taysom Hill. They start to get tape on you. They start to see tendencies. They start to pick things apart, and it didn't go nearly as well for him against a better defense in the Broncos. And they played him well, and they played him tough. And it ended up being that they won with a veteran at the end there. But it's a nifty play to me. Like I said, if it's about the injury, protecting him from that, go ahead. If you're going to say that Fitz is the right guy for that situation, then Tua shouldn't be in there starting.
No, I agree with you. And I just thought it was a completely different spot for Miami than they have been in all year. Oh, and what an awful pick. Brady throws a brutal pick, Mafia. Absolutely brutal. Another one just caught by the safety. He just had to stand out there and wait for it. I'm going to get annoyed because Brown's not going to get my yard here. But we are going to win the Rams outright, it looks like. Now, Tampa's got one timeout, a minute 49. I'm pretty sure here, Mafia, math in my head, that they should be able to get this thing down at least to under 20 seconds left. They may have to do something on a fourth down, but the Rams should be able to get most of the clock done here, Mafia.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, you're under the two-minute warning, though, in the one timeout. It's going to be pretty hard for them to get anything of any note if they have the ball at all. You know, obviously, one first down, it's done.
Tremendous job by the Rams tonight. Felt really good. Felt really good about them. And like I was saying, different spot for Miami. They were a road favorite, you know, of more than 3 points and a very tough place to play, despite the fact that the Broncos are not that good this year. Asking the rookie quarterback to go on the road and be a favorite is a whole nother animal, and they were not up to the task. Browns, Mafia, 7-3. They can get to 10 wins. I was looking at their schedule, too. They've got a couple of games in there that they play Jacksonville this week. As long as they don't, you know, be the Browns, they should get to 10-6, and they could be in the mix. You buying or you selling right now the Browns where they are at 7-3 making the playoffs?
They're going to make the playoffs. Yeah, I'm absolutely on them to make the playoffs because, like you said, they have, you know, some games that work out for them. If they have a situation where they can rely on the running game and kind of ride those two backs as far as they can and throw as little, you know, big passes as they need to, it works out. If you have to put it on Mayfield's shoulders, that's where we're going to have issues. That's where they've had problems in the past when they try to sling it all over the field when those guys are hurt or ineffective. But the way they've played so far this year, they're going to make the playoffs. And, you know, good on them to finally make that. And then when you get into the playoffs, it's going to be what team they play, the matchup that they have, and how they can, you know, go for that. Because, you know, obviously with Baltimore and their struggles, that helps them out too. That's another situation where you thought they'd be at least the, you know, third best at best in that division. And you thought, okay, maybe they could still get a wild card. They might get the number two seed in that division. You know, Baltimore's struggling. Baltimore is not playing well. Something's wrong there. And, you know, especially if they lose again this week, if they have two of the three running backs out with COVID for Thursday night and let that game go on and they get smoked by Pittsburgh, they're going to be in a big hole here. So I think that Cleveland's in a great position and they've worked the schedule the way they need to. They've worked their offense the way they need to. And that's even without Garrett, you know, last week and maybe this week. So they've done a pretty good job from what they had so far and what they've had in the past years. And they've, you know, just stuck to getting business done. And Mayfield hasn't been running his mouth all year. We'll have to see if that happens in the playoffs now, though. No OBJ with teams, you know, gaming against you and trying to stop that running game when you get the better teams. Because they've had a lot of wins against crappy teams and, you know, some good wins in crappy weather where people couldn't do much. Let's see what happens if you get some nice weather and some good defense is what happens.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. And the Ravens, they lose on Thursday and they go to 6-5. They're going to be in a lot of trouble. Now, their schedule isn't awful either. You know, they still have a couple of the NFC East teams. They play the Cowboys. They play the Giants. They do have another game with the Browns. That may be the last game of the season. Or maybe not. I know they do play the Browns one more time here before the end, but Ravens is going to be tricky here if they lose Thursday and they get to 6-5. And I think the other thing, AFC Mafia, give the Raiders a little respect. You know, they lost that game to Kansas City, but a lot of respect to the Raiders with how they played. I thought they would get absolutely whacked. You know, the revenge game, the dopey stuff about the lap around Arrowhead, all those things. And I thought the Raiders really showed up and they showed me, Mafia. And I know we only got like 20 seconds here. They showed me that they might be a team that can win a game if they have the right matchup in the playoffs. I was proud of the Raiders.
Yeah, they could be. They're a tough team, and they've been through a lot this season. Let's not forget all the times they've had guys out from COVID, not being able to practice for whole weeks. They've had a lot of issues to deal with, some of because of their own stupidity. But still, they've gotten through that, those issues. They've gotten guys going, and they're a tough team, and they're going to be, you know, one of those scrappy underdogs in the playoffs you might have to worry about.
Carver High and Mafia, we are in for Scotty Farrell on the bench. 844-843-6879. The Bucks have lost. Rams win 27-24. We keep it rolling right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. Rams win 27-24 over the Bucks. They go to 7-3 now, Mafia. And, you know, look, they beat the Seahawks last week. They're going to have the tiebreaker now in the NFC West. They have one more game with Seattle, I believe, later in the year. How about the Rams, who... You know, I was a little down on earlier in the year because they had only beaten the NFC East teams. Those were like when they had their four wins. And now they've got some back-to-back really good wins against Seattle and against the Bucks here. Maybe the Rams, Mafia, are the team. Oh, but then you look at some of the stuff that Goff did tonight, and it does kind of make you, you know, not want to dive in on them. But their defense is really good. McVay tries to limit as many mistakes as possible from Goff. 7-3 Rams, that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, that is surprising given some of the performances we've seen from them at other times. You know, like we said before, this is one of the teams that you look at and you're like, man, it seems really good. Like, they could be one of the best teams. And then they'll have games where they get smoked by the Dolphins and Goff looks, you know, terrible. And you're like, what happened? Or they lose to the 49ers. Like, what is going on with this team? So every time, like I said, anybody in the NFC, every time you think they're good, every time you think they're the one, and they're the cream of the crop, they do something to make you scratch your head and say, am I watching the same team I just looked at last week? I mean, even if you look back, the game at home they had against the Giants, where they barely beat them, it's like, I can't think that while they show us games like this against Seattle, and they get up for the big teams, and granted, that's all you're going to have in the playoffs, they always have that momentum slip up that at some point you look at it and say, why did you do that? Where was this from? Like, are you kidding me? So I don't know, especially because they've had problems on the road too. And I know obviously it's 7-3 right now. They're, you know, one of the top teams are going to have a home game to start, but only 500 on the road. So that could be an issue when you get, you know, to the second, third round of the playoffs.
Well, you keep winning and maybe you won't need to do that. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, they're 7-3, they're game back of the Saints. You know, who knows if the Rams keep winning, they could be in a position where the games are going to be at SoFi. And I think it just goes, and you said it perfectly. It just plays back to what we said early in hour number one. Every team here in the NFC that's a quote unquote contender, they all have warts. Okay. They all have flaws. And I can't take any of those teams right now between the Saints, the Packers, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Bucks. You know, I can't take any of those teams and definitively say, you know what? That team's going to beat the rest, and that team's going to be in the Super Bowl. I think we're looking at a situation, Mafia, where in January, all of these teams are going to be in the mix. It's going to come down to who's playing, who's the hottest at that point when we get there, because they all have things that we can point at and say, well, that team ain't that great. I think they all have their problems.
Right. Like you said before, I mean, the Cardinals are the third in that division right now.
Forgot them.
Hey, if you play the Packers, we take them. Yeah, I'll take them over the Packers. You know, as of today and what I saw against Indy, yeah, I'll take them over the Packers. So there's no team in that, you know, conference that you feel that confident about. And on the same side of the, you know, the other side of the coin, there's no team in that conference that you just can write off. Even the Bears, as terrible as, you know, as terrible as that offense has been, that defense is so good that you could say, listen, they can keep them around.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a spot where tomorrow morning when FanDuel puts back up the odds for the NFC, I might look at which team is sitting in like fourth or fifth and like how their odds are. And I might just take a stab at them because I think that any of these four or five, six teams in the NFC could possibly go to the Super Bowl. I think it's just going to come down to whoever is the hottest at that moment. We've done a lot of NFL Mafia. We have to do a little bit of college football because a lot have happened over the weekend. When you were off last week, I basically now know the Indiana fight song by heart. Scott basically played it. He was in Monday through Thursday, and he played the Indiana, you know, humming it and doing the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun every single day, getting juiced up for Indiana-Ohio State. And I got to tell you, I kind of thought that they were going to get whacked, and it looked like they were going to get whacked when it was 35-7. I give them a lot of credit. They fought back in the second half, and they really showed that, you know what, they're not same old Indiana. Maybe they do got a little juice to them here. Nice job by Scotty's Hoosiers fighting back and even having a chance to tie that game. They did get the ball back down 7. Nice job by them even in a loss.
Yeah, they've shown a lot of fight this year. They've shown that they're a tough team, you know, and they've had some teams that you look at in the past, you're like, okay, you know, they're not as good, but they fight. They play hard. They're not going to give up, and, you know, they still lose by 14, 21, 28, whatever, you know. They still get blown out in the end. That's what we're kind of figuring was going to happen against Michigan a couple weeks ago. It's like, yeah, they always say they're going to play Michigan tough, and then the second half they fall apart. And that's kind of what you figured in this game. And they came back, and they fought hard, and they keep playing. So maybe it's not just the scrappy little, you know, underdogs. Maybe this is a team that's, you know, tough enough to stick around and make some noise for, you know, a couple of years, at least with these guys that they have now until they graduate and probably get a lesser recruiting class. But still, they're playing well, they're playing tough, and they're making, you know, Indiana people proud. It's funny because you looked at the beginning of the season, Purdue was 2-0, they were 2-0. I was like, oh, no one in Indiana has lost, and Purdue's flopped right back to where they usually are. But Indiana's hung tough, and they played good games, man, and they came back. And I don't know, does that make you more proud of Indiana, or does that give you some kind of little scare about Ohio State and how they can lose focus?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. I think I got to give the credit to Indiana. I really do. I just think that Indiana played a really good game and they were in the mix. The other team in the Big Ten that you have to give the respect to now is Northwestern. Northwestern's defense has been outstanding through the first five games of this season now. And the question marks coming into the Wisconsin game was, can they do it against a really good team? They completely shut Wisconsin down. Fitzgerald had an unbelievable game plan. Now, they can't score, and that's going to be the problem for Northwestern. I think they're going to get to the Big Ten title game undefeated. They play Michigan State this week. The two games, I think they have Minnesota, and they have somebody else that they, quote-unquote, should beat. And if they get through those three games, Mafia, they're going to play Ohio State. And I think that they could limit Ohio State to how much they could score. But my problem with Northwestern is I don't think they're going to be able to score enough against Ohio State. I mean, they scratched 17 points across against Wisconsin this week. I think as good as their defense is, I find it hard that they would be able to score enough points to keep up with Ohio State.
The Fighting Reese Davises?
The Fighting Reese Davises.
I mean,
they don't
my
like Joey Galloway, man. They're all
no,
over
they
Joey
don't.
Galloway.
And you know what? They might not like me tonight, too, because I give them credit for winning that game. Obviously, that's a big game for them. They stepped up and they're undefeated. You got to give them lots of credit for that. I still take this game with a grain of salt, though, because look at what Wisconsin has been through to get to this point. This isn't a normal Wisconsin. This isn't the Wisconsin we looked at the beginning of the season as being, you know, probably the team that's going to win that part of the Big Ten and be in the title game and maybe give Ohio State a run for their money. This is a team that has been decimated by COVID for the last month, has barely played or practiced. You know, what level of team or Wisconsin Badger, you know, program are they at right now? You know, I feel like this is more a team that we saw in week one where you kind of like they play those little, terrible teams and they just get by and you're like, all right, well, you know what? It's the first game they play. They'll fine tune things. I feel like they started their season all over with everything that they've been through this year with the COVID. So while you got to give Northwestern credit for winning, I'm not putting it up there as, well, they beat Wisconsin. That's a legit win. I put it as they beat, a good program who's been beaten, to high hell the last month.
They were coming off their first game back where they destroyed Michigan. And listen, Michigan stinks. I guess that's the one thing you could say is, yeah, they beat up on Michigan, but Michigan's awful. And Michigan had a 4-overtime game with Rutgers. They acted like they won the Super Bowl when they won that game against Rutgers in Piscataway over the weekend for Harbaugh and the crew. But a lot of respect to Northwestern. And we'll do a lot. I think we'll probably do a lot more in terms of rankings and things like that. They're doing the first college football playoff ranking tomorrow night, Mafia. So we're going to get the first time. And it's like the first of the first one means absolutely nothing. But
doesn't Provo.
It doesn't Provo. So we each want to take a whack at somebody. We'll start with BYU. And then you could get Florida State on the Florida State Clemson on the other side of the break here. BYU is undefeated. They obviously scream and yell that they should be involved in the college football playoff. They even tweeted out their football account on Twitter after the game when they beat South Alabama on Saturday. Any team, any place, any time. And then Bruce Feldman of Fox reported over the weekend that Washington did offer to play them this weekend. I believe Washington was supposed to play Washington State Mafia next week or this weekend coming up. And with the COVID situation there, that game is off. So the Pac-12 is allowing them to schedule non-conference games. They go to BYU. BYU, who needs to play other teams. They've beaten up South Alabama and Louisiana Tech and all these other teams. They need to play a Power 5 team, any Power 5 team. I don't care if they had to go to Washington to do it, and they're not going to do it. That is chicken shack to me, Mafia. It absolutely is. I cannot believe that BYU, who claims that they want to be in with the big boys, has a chance to. You go and beat Washington, I still don't think you'd get in, but at least then you could say you're willing to play anybody at any time. What they're doing here, basically ducking the game or saying, well, we want to see where we are in the rankings on Tuesday before we say yes. Well, you know what? Too bad. And what, you know what? Good on Washington. Washington said, you know what? Forget it. We won't play you then. We'll either won't play or we'll find somebody else. BYU, I'm so down on them, Mafia. I am down on BYU. I don't want to hear from them anymore for the rest of this year. Go play Louisiana Tech again. Enough with BYU. I'm sick of them. And we've got problems also with Dabo Swinney and Clemson. And Mafia is going to share those with you when we come back as well. Rams win on Monday Night Football. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty Farrell on the bench. We keep it rolling right after this. And we're back. Farrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. Rams win on Monday Night Football. Big win for them on the road. The Bucks now. What did you say it was, Mafia? Brady 1-3? Is that what they are on primetime this year?
They're 1-3 primetime and 6-1 otherwise. And in the primetime games, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
Yeah, no, they have not played well in primetime for whatever reason. Now, it also, you factor in the reason why I liked the Rams tonight, and it ties into the primetime because it seems like the primetime games have been against those teams that I was referencing that have the really good defensive lines. So the teams that can force pressure and get on Brady, which were the Bears, which were the Saints, which were the Rams tonight, and even so much the Giants. I mean, that night at MetLife where the Bucs did win the game, the Giants were a heavy underdog, and they covered, obviously. But the Giant defensive line even got a little bit of pressure on Tom Brady. So it is kind of weird that both of those things, correlate together, but they did. We were doing a little bit of college football. I mentioned BYU. Don't want to hear it. First college football rankings tomorrow night. We'll see where Cincinnati is as well. They're the other ones who almost lost at UCF on Saturday. I don't really want to hear too much from them. Oklahoma State, as always, they are frauds. They got whacked by Oklahoma. Mike Gundy never wins in a big spot. Never. And he did that again on Saturday. But Mafia, I need to get to Clemson and Dabo Swinney, because they were supposed to play Florida State on Saturday afternoon at noon Eastern. And then about 3 hours before the kickoff, the word came out that they were not going to play, that Florida State was not comfortable with the COVID protocols. Clemson had a player test positive on Friday. And Dabo Swinney, Mafia, is not happy because he feels the game should have been played. He feels that Florida State got out of the game because they didn't want to play it. He was very, very candid about it with his comments. Look, I don't know. Do you really think that they tried to get out of the game on purpose with everything that's going on right now? What are your thoughts on Dabo, Mafia?
Listen, I've lost so much respect for this guy in the last 8-9 months and the way that he has handled this situation. Not to say that everyone has to handle it, you know, the way I think or the way that certain people, certain teams do. Like, everyone's going to handle it differently. So much unknown for, you know, so many teams and stuff. But, I mean, back in April, this guy was an idiot saying, like, oh, well, America won in Normandy. We got cars on Mars. Like, we'll kick this thing in the butt. Well, no problem. We're going to get right through this COVID-19. No problem. We'll have a great season. Yeah, looked like an idiot then. Then we're talking about, you know, flying on private planes with his family to vacation in Florida as it was a hot spot. Like, he's just been an idiot the whole time with COVID, not taking it seriously, even though it repped through his program just like it has every other one, just like how it took his Heisman-winning, you know, quarterback and took him out for 3 weeks. And you know what? I actually thought I was going to have a little bit of respect for them in that situation because, you know, the ACC protocols were that Trevor could have come back earlier. And the school protocols were like, you know what? We're going to hold them out for a little bit of extra, take these extra tests, make sure there's no long-term effects. It wasn't them saying, like, hey, this kid's got it next year. Who cares what happens to his heart after this? Like, he's not our problem next year. Who cares if he, you know, dies at 40 from complications of this? We don't need him after this year. Instead, they said, listen, let's hold him out another week. Let's do this extra protocols. Thought the school handled that great, despite all the stupidity that Dabo has put out throughout this year about COVID. Then comes out and says it's about Florida State and, you know, chastising them. When, A, like I said, his program has been hit by COVID. B, Florida State has had their issues with COVID and guys sitting, you know, having to sit out and, you know, games that coaches got, and they ripped through their program. So both of you have experience with this. It's not like either of you have been touched and you're just oblivious to what this virus can do to a football team. But then you look back and the things that he was talking about with this guy that they had, the positive tests. It was for an offensive lineman, a backup offensive lineman, not someone who really matters on that team. They did more when Trevor Lawrence got sick and keeping him out than they did with this guy. The guy was still practicing. And granted, he did not test positive right away. But if you have anybody that's sick in any regard right now, why are you letting him on the field? I don't care if you're social distancing or masking or anything. Get him the hell out of here. Isolate him. Keep him away from the rest of the team. Don't take that chance. But instead, they let the guy on the practice field all week. They take him on the trip on the buses, enclosed buses, to go to this Florida State game. You know, and then he's like, oh, well, Florida State's weak. They didn't want to play us. No, you were stupid. If the first time this guy's, you know, get the sniffles, you say, you know what? Go to your room and don't come out till you're not sick. Guess what? You play Florida State on Saturday. But because you have to have this guy hang around, you don't think it's any big deal that he's sick just because he didn't test positive right away? It just shows that you're a moron. You have no idea what's going on with this virus. You handled it completely poorly, and then you're ripping Florida State like it's their problem. No, you're the jerk in this situation. Just realize that and move on. You were going to smoke them anyway. It's not like it's going to matter.
Mafia getting involved on Dabo. Look, you're right. He has been one of the guys since the spring, you know, when this obviously started. He's been one of the guys who's been very vocal about a lot of things with COVID. Was it him or was it Orgeron, Mafia, that gave the, you know, well, most of my guys are getting it now, so maybe they won't get it during the season. Dabo was part of that too, right? Oh, that was Orgeron. Yeah.
Like, all the guys are, or was it Gundy? So the other one was like, oh, these guys are young. They could take this. Who cares?
Yeah. So really, Dabo has been involved in a lot of things with this. And it sounds like they're not going to play again this year. He basically, we played a clip today on Coast to Coast where he's like, you know, you could come to us. And if they do, lay the wood if they actually play that game. I don't care if it's 50. Lay the wood, because Dabo is not going to let up on Florida State the next time that he plays them, man. Wow. Just keep it to yourself, Dabo. That's all you need to do. And I'm interested to see. That's another game they might not play now. Another game Clemson might not play. So this college football playoff ranking the first one coming out tomorrow night. So we'll do a lot of college tomorrow.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. They can play. They can play no more games the rest of the season. And
yeah,
they still have them up there in the playoffs. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah, and that, and it's not fair because they're gonna probably beat Notre Dame in the ACC title game, and they're gonna put them in over Notre Dame. So it is.
The thing too, bring up Notre Dame because there was comments he made after that game where he was talking about, you know, that's a great win for them, and he told his team that week, listen, if they win, get the hell off the field because you know the fans are going to rush it. And with everything going on with COVID, get the hell out of there. So he was worried about it with the fans of Notre Dame rushing in. But his backup offensive lineman said, he's like, yeah, come hang out with us. Who cares?
But Florida State, to be fair, they also are a little bit hypocritical. I mean, they had – I saw one of their games either a week or two ago. I mean, the place was like 80% full. I mean, they're not exactly taking things seriously down there in Tallahassee either. So it is what it is. You know, what can you do? A little NBA mafia before we get out of here, because you haven't had a crack at a lot of this stuff. Some big signings. The Lakers, I think, are a lot better than the team that just won. I mean, adding Harrell, adding Marc Gasol, the pieces, adding Schroeder. The Lakers, I think, are a better team than the one that just won a title. And the other thing for me, which really stuck out, and this Gordon Hayward nonsense, the Charlotte Hornets, they got to be stupid. I mean, they really do, Mafia. I know that you need to overpay to get players to probably come and play for you, but it's Gordon Hayward. Like, if I'm going to give a guy 4 years and $120 million, he either has to be, you know, a franchise-changing player, he's going to at least make people watch me on TV or sell tickets in a normal circumstance. I understand we're doing something else now. Gordon Hayward does not check any of those boxes, Mafia, for 4 years and $120 million. I thought the Hornets made the most ridiculous. He needs to be like a second or a third piece. He is not a guy that you make your lead piece. I thought the Hornets were silly.
Yeah, I thought that was ridiculous because they're not even a team that, you know, like they're one piece away from winning type of deal. You know, they just need that one guy, that one veteran presence. I thought that was the most ridiculous thing when they were talking about him opting out. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, why? You're not going to get that deal. You know, he wants a couple more years. I'm like, well, he's not going to get more money. $34 million. And he didn't even like 30. I mean, I can't believe that he's getting paid that much. This, to me, is very reminiscent of the Chandler Parsons, you know, deal 5-7 years ago that we've made fun of forever, where they signed him to a ton of money and the guy was never on the court because ever since he went to Boston, he has not stayed healthy. And it's not his fault. I'm not saying that, you know, this guy's a terrible guy or anything like that. When he's in there and he can play, he's a good player. But is he worth that deal? Not to me. A, you're not sure he's going to be on the court. B, does it make your team that much better? Does it make you a playoff team? I don't think so. And C, I mean, I know the NBA values are all out of whack. I know guys get paid way too much, and your superstars get $40, $45, $50 million. But there is no way in my mind he is worth that much per year. I didn't think he was worth that much per year. You know, when he had that option left in Boston, decided to pull out of that, I'm like, why? You're not getting that. You're not worth that.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte's like, we'll see that and add 3 more years. I just don't get it. When they're talking about him going to the Knicks, I'm like, hey, that would be a good piece if they get him for like $20 million. And instead, he goes to Charlotte and they pay him ridiculous amounts of money. And Michael Jordan apparently signed off on it. And that just shows that as good as he was as a player, is as bad as he is as an owner.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. He is not a franchise-changing player. I mean, was he when he was in Utah? Maybe, but he didn't show last year coming off the injury that he can be that. I thought it was just silly all around by the Hornets. They need to make some more moves to put around him, that's for sure. Hawks were very active. It's like the Hawks basically said, we've got these three young guys. We need to put some pieces around them. And they made a lot of, you know, a lot of moves, some interesting, some crazy, some safe. You know, Gallinari, Bogdanovich, Rondo. I mean, they're going to look like a whole new team down in Atlanta this year, Mafia.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I still don't think that puts them as a contender in the East. It makes them an interesting team. I mean, obviously, that'll depend on what we get out of, you know, improvement-wise with Collins and some of those, and Trae Young and those other young players. I think Rondo's going to be a great addition to kind of teach Trae Young a little bit more and help him out and maybe mold him, because we've seen him, you know, in his older years be much more of a mentor type player, not the jerk that he was when he was younger. So I think those are some, you know, some decent moves for them. I think the one thing that seems to be going under the radar a lot, obviously, because it was a trade, not a signing. I love the move for Holiday to Milwaukee. How much have we ripped the Bucks and how they don't have somebody to help and how their guards, especially, you know, George Hill and Bledsoe, are guys that just don't come up in the clutch when they need them the most. This guy is an awesome player on both sides of the ball, too. It's not just that, you know, he could score. We've seen him score. We've seen him, you know, lead that New Orleans team. When it was him and Anthony Davis, you know, he was the second best player on that team. And obviously Anthony Davis is an all-world talent, but it wasn't like this guy was way out of, you know, his league as compared to Anthony Davis. Davis was a lot better, but this guy was just there as number two. He was, you know, the Robin Batman, and he was even better than a Robin because he, you know, was doing a great job, and Davis was hurt a lot in those years too. I love Holiday. I love that trade for them. I think that makes them a much better team in the East as far as, you know, the top team in the East, even though if maybe you give that to Miami. But I thought Miami didn't really do enough to I mean, they didn't lose a lot, but I don't really think they added either.
I still can't put Miami, and I know they were in the NBA Finals. I can't put the Heat in that like top tier. Like, the Bucks are there. You have to assume that if Durant and Irving are healthy, the Nets are going to be in that top tier in the Eastern Conference if they can play together, etc. But like, I think the Heat are secondary tier. Let's be fair, Mafia. They made the finals in the bubble. Would the Heat have won big games on the road in Milwaukee? Would the Heat have won big games on the road in Boston? I'm not so sure. I'm really not. So I think that as great as their run was, I don't know if I'm ready to put them in that tier going forward. Pharrell
plus
on the bench.
Plus, you're another year older after being a key contributor.
Yeah, no question. No question about that as well. So I don't know if those young guys would have got it done. Pharrell on the bench, Carver Ryan Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We wrap it up with Morenci right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879, as we wrap it up here in hour number two. Mafia, we'll look at this a lot, definitely tomorrow and most absolutely on Wednesday before we head into Thanksgiving. Interesting odds boost at FanDuel. Texans, Cowboys, and Steelers all to win on Thursday, plus 400 super bet. Now, it seems very nice. Those are all three favorites right now. Seems very nice, but when it seems nice like that, Mafia, usually it's too good to be true.
Yeah, that's one of those where you like it so much, they're like, what's wrong with this? What am I not seeing that they have on their back pocket that's going to take this away from me in the end? Because, you know, we talked about, the Cowboys looked good and looked, you know, the best they've looked in half a season and probably going to win that division. You had the Lions not be able to score in Carolina, get lit up by P.J. Walker, so you have no faith in them in that game. And the Texans, you know, looking pretty strong. And obviously with Dobbins and Ingram out, the running game is going to be, you know, pretty beat up for Baltimore. And Pittsburgh Steelers were the better team before you even got that news. So I was like, what am I not seeing that the book is? Because there's no way they're giving that incredible super boost if there's going to be just like us walking in with our money and walking right out with it again, because there's got to be something else.
I'm probably going to get real silly and I'll end up playing this super boost on FanDuel. And I'm also probably going to take, you know, all of the dogs in like a three-team teaser. You know, I'll take the Ravens, the Washington, and the Lions. So I'll do a teaser with all the dogs. I'll probably end up losing both, you know, somehow, some way. You'll end up losing both. But that's how I might actually play these Thanksgiving games. Because, you listen, it is what it is. You know, you're having a little fun on Turkey Day watching the football. I'm actually doing, I got to look at some props for Thursday night. I'm actually doing in-game live with Walsh during the Steeler-Raven game on Thursday. So I'm looking forward to that. All right. Nice job, Mafia. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Pharrell on the bench. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. We will see you then. Have a good night.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.